2 Kings chapter 5. Where are you living? Is what we want to ask today. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. One verse here today. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Father, take the few words that we will speak this morning, and I'm asking and praying, God, that they would be life, they would be manna for be milk for babes and manna for those that are growing, and Lord, for the mature, God, may it be meat to them. In Jesus' name we're praying, amen. The first person that stepped across the stage last week was Naaman. And Naaman lived in leprosy. And we defined that and looked at that. The second person that crossed the stage last week was the unnamed servant. And we looked at her. And we saw that she was living in forgiveness. Today, we're going to look, and I just want to stop and add this. Where I left off last week was Naaman repenting, and in repenting, most of us have the feeling that what that means is we cry big crocodile tears, and therefore that shows that we are repenting. Do you realize that in the Old Testament that Orpah, she cried just like Ruth cried? Only Orpah turned back and went back to her homeland, went back to her false and heathen gods, whereas Ruth, not only did she cry, but she repented and she turned and went the other way, and she walked with her mother-in-law Naomi, and they headed toward Bethlehem, they headed toward Israel. This is where we picked up last week, or we stopped last week, to where Naaman is heading toward Israel. He is on his horse with his entourage and his servants and his army in tow, and they're heading toward Israel. And the amazing thing about that to me is where the Bible says that he walks up on the porch of Elisha's house and knocks on the door. And I know what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the band to come out, and for the MC to come out, and for the MC to say, "And here he is, God's man of might and miracles, Elisha the prophet." None of that happens. Waiting for the band to come out and play. You can make it. Yeah, you can make. Wasn't that the 700 or the PTL theme? You can make it. I was watching that one time. Yeah, I watched it one time. And Josh, my boy, was about that big. And we're watching that together. And about that time, Jim Baker came out after that. You can make it. You can make it. You can make. And he didn't even realize what he said. He bounces out and says, "Jan's sick today. She couldn't make it." But Naaman's expecting all of this and doesn't get any of that, because Elisha sends out his servant to go and tell Naaman what he is to do. And he was to go dip in the River Jordan. Now, I want you to follow this through here. And I found this as many times as I could possibly find it within the scripture. First, he knocks on the door. Second, go and wash in the Jordan River. Almost every time water is mentioned secondarily, it is mentioned after something else has happened. The first day, God said, "Let there be light." The second day, God divided the water. In Revelation chapter 16, first, there are plagues upon the land. Second, there are plagues upon the water. First, the Jews were delivered from Egyptian bondage. Second, they walked through the Red Sea. We studied the tabernacle. First thing you saw and you went through, you had the brazen altar. After that, next was the brazen laver. First the sacrifice, after that then the water. In John chapter 3 is the sermon of you must be born again. In John chapter 4 is the sermon of Jesus is the living water. Wednesday night, I'm glad to say, Jeremy Stroud came up to me and also Melinda, and I believe it was Dalton that they had, and he had him there, and he was all grinning from ear to ear. And Jeremy said, Dalton, he found Jesus Christ as his Savior tonight out in the Royal Rangers, and he wants to be water baptized. That is how it works. This is a story played out with four major characters. The third person to step onto this stage is a prophet that most of us has heard about. He is a prophet that his name is very similar to another prophet. The other prophet is a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah's servant happened to be a man by the name of Elisha. And if we would ask Elisha, sir, where are you living?
I'm living in faithfulness.
Thank you. And the reason why Elisha was able to live in faithfulness was because he had that modeled for him. Elijah was faithful. This man lived a life of faithfulness. We see it to where he is faithful to his own dad. He is there that day that Elijah walks up to him and puts his hand upon him and the anointing of God rests upon him. And Elisha that day is plowing in the field. He's working for his dad. And the scripture says when that anointing came upon him, he went and said bye to his mom and dad. He took the yoke that was there. He broke it. He made a fire out of it. He slaughtered one of the oxen that he was using, and they had a feast that day. And he said so long to his mom and dad, and he entered into the ministry. And the man was faithful. You know the greatest thing you can be as a Christian? Faithful. Don't shout me down here. Oh, no, we expect the preacher to be faithful. Hey, the preacher expects the congregation to be faithful. You know when most congregations fire their preacher? When the preacher starts acting like the congregation. That's right. Elijah's promise to Elisha was, if you see me ascend into heaven, you will receive whatever you ask. And Elisha said, give me a double portion of what you got. And Elijah said, you see me go, and that's going to happen. And watch how Elijah puts Elisha to the test. They get to Gilgal, and Elijah says, just stay here. Just rest and stay here. And Elisha says, oh no, I'm going where you're going. Because the deal is, when I see you arise, if I see that happen, I will receive a double portion of God. They go to the next city, to Bethel, and Elijah again says, stay here, rest a while. And Elisha said, not doing it. I'm going with you because I want the promise that God is going to give me the double portion. They get to Jericho, stay here. Elisha says, oh no, I'm going with you. They get to the Jordan River. Same thing, stay here. Elisha said, I'm going with you. Listen, church, if you'll be faithful in the little, God will bless you in the big. Amen. No, I just want to join up. I want to run the whole show. God's as smart as Walmart. Walmart don't even let you do that. If you'll be faithful in the small, if you'll read two chapters every day, if you'll pray and believe God every day, if you will give out a CD and help someone and share your faith, if you're faithful in the little, God will continually bless you in the big. Elisha saw the prophet Elijah go up into heaven. The mantle falls back down, that tallit, that prayer shawl. He picks it up. He walks over to the Jordan River and he says, "Where is the God of Elisha?" And he smote the Jordan River, and immediately that river just opened right up and he was able to walk over on the other side. That man had faithfulness modeled to him, and now he is being faithful to God. Let me tell you, faithfulness starts small, much like leprosy starts small. Faithfulness spreads, much like leprosy spreads. What are you going to go with in your life? Leprosy of sin or faithfulness to God? Elisha, the Bible said, had a school for ministers. His faith is spreading. He's training other people in this. You know what there were, and I love this story. I really get akin to different stories in the Bible. This is one of them that I hold near and dear to my heart. There were 50 wisecracking teenage punk boys that was making fun of Elisha, saying, "Go up, go up. Elijah, your mentor, he went up. Go up, you bald head." That's what he says. 50 of them. "Go up. Go up like Elijah did. Go up, you bald head." I'm near to this story. God sent, this is good too. God sent not just two bears to wipe them 50 kid punk kids out. He sent two, God meant business. He sent two she bears, it says. And they wiped them kids out. Don't be making fun of the bald-headed preacher. That's all I got to tell you on that. Because God means business. Not just two bears, two she-bears is what happened. All right, that's enough about at least that man. Now, this story is played out with four main characters. We have seen where it is Naaman, who is living in a life of leprosy. We see that it is the unnamed servant girl who, thank God, lived her life in forgiveness. We see the word is Elisha, who lived his life in faithfulness. And now we've got the fourth person to step onto the stage. A man that most of you have never heard of before. A man who was Elisha's servant. A man by the name of Gehazi. And if I would ask Gehazi, "Where are you living, sir?"
"I'm living in deception."
Naaman is healed. He does exactly what the prophet told him to do, go to the Jordan River. He dips seven times in the Jordan River, once, twice, just like I thought, nothing's happening, just like I thought, third time, fourth time, this is crazy, fifth time, he's getting ready to get out of the water, and his servant, the man's servant said, "Oh, mighty general, if the man would have asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it?" He says, "Well, I guess I would have. Go ahead and dip two more times." Dips the sixth time, nothing happened, dips the seventh time, and he's completely clean, completely whole. And Naaman, in gratitude, says, "I will give you changes of raiment. I will give you this silk. I will give you this gold. I will give you this silver. I will give you all these things." And Elisha said, "Don't want it. Keep your money." And Naaman heads back to his homeland. And watch what the guy in deception does. He looks around when nobody's looking. And he gets on his horse. And he rides out after Naaman and overtakes him and says, "Well, guess what? The prophet changed his mind. He'll take some money after all. He'll take them clothing. He'll take all that clothes after all." And Naaman, more than happy to give it to him. You know what this man, Gehazi, didn't realize? Actually, the same thing Moses didn't realize. The Bible says when Moses killed the Egyptians, he looked to the right and he looked to the left. He didn't look up. See, you're living in deception if you think you can sin and God don't know, nobody else knows, and the preacher don't know, and I'm getting by with it. That's being deceived. And Jesus said one of the catchphrases and catch things in the end times will be, four times he mentioned this, more than he mentioned earthquakes, more than he mentioned disease, more than he mentioned famine. He mentioned this four times in Matthew chapter 24. There will be rampant deception. There are people so deceived, they're thinking they can just do whatever they want to do and they're going to go to heaven someday. That's deception. Devil's got you fooled. Just the same way that he had this man fool, Gehazi, thinks that he can sin and somehow get by with it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. This story begins with the now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. And in that one verse at the end of it says, but he was a leper. This whole chapter unfolds and the last verse of this chapter says that Gehazi was a leper. It begins with leprosy. And because of deceitfulness, it ends in leprosy. Because the very leprosy that God had rescued Naaman from, now he transfers it upon this man that is so deceptive in his life. That what a man that he had to model faithfulness, that he was right there with him, and he still had deception in his heart. It's like Demas. He has no greater Christian example on the planet. No greater one than Paul. And this guy still lives in deception. Demas still gives up on God and goes his own way. Where are you living at? That's the question. Where are you living? Let's just bring it right home. Where are you living? You're living in sin and you've never ever got that taken care of. You never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That is a must. The Bible said, this is Jesus talking, you must be born again. I've told that to people before and they look at me, people in this area, and they look at me and say, born again? What do you mean by born again? Jesus said that. You must be born again. Thank God for those that's living in forgiveness, like the unnamed servant girl, to where she said, would to God, if Naaman could go to Israel, he would be healed of the prophet if he would just do it. She lived in forgiveness because she'd been drug away from her own home. And instead of being bitter, she was willing to forgive this man. And then the great prophet Elisha lived his life in faithfulness. He had it patterned before him by Elijah, and he picked up on that. And then Gehazi, living in deception. It's such a cruel, that's such a cruel thing for people to live their life, live their whole life and be deceived. I went and talked to a guy, and this has been years ago. He's in the nursing home. And a big man, big, you could tell, in his day, he was a big man. And he told me he'd lived up north for most of his life and worked. He was in the military from there. He worked in a factory, he said. And it was a factory that employed over 1,000 people. He said, I could whip every man in that factory. Nobody messed with me. This is what he told me. This one could knock you out. This one could put you in the hospital. And I said, sir, I mean, he was 80 plus. I said, with all due respect, what can they do now? And he looked at his fist and he said, this one is a big fat zero and this one is good for nothing. I said, you're going to meet God someday. It ain't going to matter how many people were scared of you and how many people you beat up. You're going to meet God someday. Jesus Christ can forgive you of every sin you've ever committed, and you can be saved. That man, and took effort to do it, he strained to roll over in bed and was staring right at the wall. With me right over here trying to talk to him. I said, if you want me to leave, I'll leave. I want you to leave. That close to meeting God and still deceived. Do it later. Do it another time. And that's been over 10 years ago. Don't be deceived. It's something that the enemies want to use more and more and more and more and more. Live in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love that he gives us. Bow your heads, please. Father, I ask and pray with your Holy Spirit's help to touch in this altar service. There may be somebody here that's never ever said yes to Jesus. Never ask you, Lord God, to forgive them of sin. Never claimed you as Savior in their life. Lord, I pray that you make that evident within their heart. God, it's not up to me to go back and try to pull somebody to the altar. Lord, I know you're big enough to draw them. And I ask and pray that that would happen today. Draw them. Draw them. In Jesus we're praying. Years later, again, as I see these things in my mind, years after the fact, I can see Gehazi walking through the streets of Israel saying, because he had to by law, the Mosaic law ordered him to do this. When he would see a group of people, he had to say, unclean, unclean. And he wore a veil that went right over his nose and covered his mouth. Unclean. And when he would say that, it would flutter up. And people close to him could see that and think, oh my gosh, it's like it's in the air. It's in the air. And people would get away from them. Unclean. Unclean. Lived his whole life like that. But think of another guy. Think of Naaman. Getting down off his horse and walking into his house, or riding through the streets of town and looking down at his arm or his hand, feeling his face, and being able to say, I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. And it wasn't because he was a good guy. It wasn't because he gave a lot of money. It was because of simple faith in God's word. Every person could be born again by simple faith and trusting God and his word. Won't you all stand? Where are you living? In leprosy? In forgiveness? In faithfulness? Or deception? It's up to you. Come on as they sing.
Upon your face, I will run to the hiding place. I have found myself a hiding place. I have found myself a secret space in the refuge of the Father's care. In the cleansing blood of Jesus there, I will run to the hiding place. I will run to the hiding place. Draw me ever closer.
It is our prayer that you have been blessed as you've listened to this message. If you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please contact us here at Orchardville Church. You can visit our website at orchardvillechurch.com, or you can contact us by phone at area code 618-835-2677.
I saw Jesus.